This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Welcome everybody to Nerds from the Underground, an imprint of Indie Alley. I'm your host today, Fred Omega. And today with me, I have...
Johnny from Graphic Vandalism. Welcome.
Yes, and what are we doing today, Johnny?
We are just kind of talking, getting to know one another, even though we know each other pretty well. But we're just going to like have a nice conversation so the audience gets to know us. And you know what I mean? And kind of can learn to hate me a little more. So like, I'm really interested, very excited to do this.
Send all your hate mail to @JohnnyAlpha, not to @ComicsFred. So today, like Johnny mentioned, we're going to just talk about some things. So we're going to chit chat, you know. I think that's the word of the week for my fifth grade son. He has to use in a wow card. So we're going to chit chat this week and discuss some things that Johnny likes so you get to know him, because he's an interesting fella. So first of all, Johnny, we all know that you love indie comics, of course, but who is, or should I say, who is your favorite artist of indie comics, and who and what is your favorite book currently in indie comics?
Okay, I'm going to go with book first, and that is, well, there's two, but like I'm going to go with Deadly Class. Because there's one that's I've read since I was a kid, and that's Usagi Yojimbo by Stan Saki. I've read that forever. It's my favorite comic in the world. It's always going to be. So it's kind of unfair for me to always just, you know, I don't want to be that guy that always has that one thing at the top of his list. So, but my number one favorite book that's running now that I usually tell people that's hip and cool with the kids is now Deadly Class. It was East of West, but that just finished up, so Deadly Class is my favorite. I just absolutely love that book. I love the just teen angst, the punk rockiness of it. Wes Craig's art, Rick Remender's writing, just the betrayal, the just the true life of it. Amazing stuff. And my favorite artist. Oh my God, could you pick something that's harder? I'm going to go with an odd one, one that he doesn't work very often, but when he does, oh my God, is he a god? And that is Farrell Darimple. He does he's been picked up by Image recently, but he does books like Pop Gun War, The Rinchies, Proxima Centauri, It Will All Hurt, and they're these kind of like 80s kids movies, but for grown-ups. But for people who grew up in the 80s and 90s and kind of helping us understand what's changed, what's different, what's good now in this very surreal, esoteric way. And his art's just beautiful. And he has a very neat and pleasant way of telling a story that he's almost on a Jeff Lemire level, just not quite as polished. Mm-hmm. And Farrell is one of my heroes. He is just incredible, and he doesn't get enough praise. So, yeah, that's who I'm going to go with.
Sweet. Should I answer?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Like, if I'm on, if I'm put on the spot, you gotta say that you got to do the same shit, bro.
Okay. My favorite book currently would have to be anything from the Black Hammer universe. Currently, I would have to say that it's... Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy. And then for my favorite artist, I would have to say I would go with Caitlin Yarsky from Coyotes. Her art is breathtaking. Have you ever read Coyotes?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm a big Sean Lewis fan.
Yeah, me too. And her art is outstanding. Actually, those two are teaming up, and they have a new book that's going to drop in the upcoming months. But I'm not sure what it's called yet.
Yeah. Well, I'll be down for it when it does, because, yeah, I liked Coyotes. I thought it was a really neat, different take on the idea of predatory males, the mythology of the werewolf. There was a lot of really neat ideas and things going through it. I kind of wish it did more than two arcs, but yeah, no, Coyotes was lit, man. Good pick.
And for her to like her drawing like the Hispanic vibe of a lot of the people in this book was outstanding. I think Andrew was very impressed when we covered it.
Oh, cool.
So let's see, what else can we ask just for people to know? Well, other than comics, like, what's your go-to for music that, like, your vibe?
Pretty much anything that's kind of high energy, a little angry. I dig, like, there's a lot of EDM I listen to. I really like a lot of underground hip-hop, especially, like, the stuff from Rhymesayers. You know, I like Greaves and Atmosphere, Aesop Rock, stuff like that a lot. I also like, you know, old school hip hop like Wu-Tang Clan, Redman, you know, stuff like that, of course. I'm a huge fan of punk rock. I grew up in the punk rock and hardcore scene in California in the 90s. So that's a big part. All different kinds of metal. I like a lot of technical death metal. Especially the atmospheric depressive black metal, very beautiful music. I don't know, some people don't like it, but I think it, especially when I'm reading, it's really kind of nice. It's just like this soundscape that doesn't pull you out of it with vocals. So it works really good for me like that. It's almost like listening to an instrumental. And yeah, I like a lot of kind of like progressive type music, you know, just things that are complex and do something interesting. Like, I don't want to just listen to some pretty guy, you know, sing an auto-tune, you know what I mean? It has no interest for me. I want to hear somebody that's going to be weird and try to thrill me, you know what I mean? And there's all different kinds of music to do it, and I enjoy most of them.
Yeah. For me, I listen to anything from ABBA to Zappa, so, I mean, I guess it depends on, like, the mood I'm in.
Are you a dancing queen?
I can get down. I like to twirl around and wave my arms.
It's Friday night and the lights are low. Yeah. And Fred knows where the place to go. Because he's a dancing queen. Yeah, man. Yeah, I listen to some ABBA too, man. Yeah, no. Oldies radio's the shit. Like, if you don't have, like, an MP3 player or something, like, yeah, I always got the oldies radio on, man. I'm bumping the 50s through 70s.
Right. I use a lot of like Sirius radio, if I'm not on Spotify, and like my go-to for the most part is like the Lithium channel, is which the grunge music 90s, you know, the things from my generation that, you know, you remember from like middle school to high school, things like that. And
yeah, the stuff that happened when I was in elementary school, you mean like Nirvana and
Mudhoney
and all that stuff. Those are some of the first bands I actually listened to, like Siamese Dream, I think, was like the actual one of the first tapes that I had that was you know, like, my folks bought me, that was like mine, you know, it wasn't like their tape that I borrowed.
I'm huge into that stuff and like hip-hop as well, but like mainly like the New York or Detroit influence of hip hop.
So you like ICP? Are you a juggalo, Fred?
Funny thing is we actually know Violent J, so
that's fresh, man. Like I when I was in Michigan, I was going through Detroit, and I actually saw Shaggy 2 Dope in real life, and I thought that was really cool because those guys broke out when I was in high school, and I wasn't like the biggest fan, but I had fun with them. I thought that they were, you know what I mean, just good dumb fun, and like they knew it, and they had a good time doing it.
Well, our kids would go to the same elementary school, so like seeing them at functions and things like that, and then also like the wrestling that they have here, you know, the in town stuff, you know, the local.
Do they still do the Juggalo Championship wrestling stuff?
They do, but one of their friends, Rude Boy, he owns a company that does some indie wrestling here in Metro Detroit, and we always see a lot of the performers, you know, a lot of the groups that are signed to them. So yeah, man, they're always there. Like a lot of the DJs and things like that. Actually, Rude Boy's son is one of the DJs. I can't think of his first name right now. If my son Joey was down here, he would tell me, and he'd be upset that I didn't remember his name.
Yeah. Come on, Dad.
but yeah. So I do like that. But I'm also a fan of like Eminem lyrically and things like that. And Royce 5'9". I'm a big fan of like Wu-Tang Clan, Notorious B.I.G., but as well as like you mentioned Redman. I've listened to some of his new stuff that just dropped on Spotify in the
Yeah,
past couple
I was
days.
listening to his new stuff on YouTube the other day. That fool, he cracks me up. He is just such, he is so funny, man. Like I love Red Man.
He says a lot of funny stuff, and I remember like there used to be a show MTV Cribs, and they showed his apartment, and I was like, this dude is so like gangster, like he owned nothing,
I
but
like, yeah, he had the shoebox full of money on his fridge. He's just like, I got dollar bills in a box in case, like, I gotta go get some bread or some M&Ms or something.
and he had like was it like the first Xbox
He had a
like laying on the ground? Oh,
Sega
okay, yeah, and the wires were hanging everywhere, and they were playing, and it looked like my bedroom of when as a high schooler.
Yeah, that's probably what my crib would look like if I ever, like, was like, didn't. Out on my own, didn't have to, try to be presentable and all that.
So that's what I'm into. Let's see. Do you have a question, Johnny?
Like, what kind of movies are you into? Like, what kind of, like, are your favorite kind of flicks?
I'm a big fan of like Quentin Tarantino movies or anything that has either Vince Vaughn or Robert De Niro in
Wow, that is a couple of weird choices for favorite leads, but interesting. Like Vince
it.
Vaughn, like even Psycho, like even that crappy Psycho remake he was in.
Yeah, it's something about him. Like he played a football player in the movie Rudy. Did you remember him in Rudy? Did you see Rudy?
No, yeah, of course I seen
Okay,
Rudy.
he was one of the players in the movie and stuff, and I just things like that, like his movies I'm into. Oh, but my favorite actor is currently on the show called Good Girls, and it's Matthew Lillard.
Oh, Matthew Lillard. Yeah, no, I actually really like Matthew Lillard. Like one of my favorite movies from the 90s, man. Like when I was in junior high, I saw it. It's an awful film, but I can't help but just love it with all of my heart. Hackers. Oh my God, I love Hackers. And then Matthew Lillard as serial killer. He's just so great in that, man. Hack the
He was in
planet.
this movie called The Curve that was like a straight to video movie, I believe, and it was outstanding. At the time, he played this creepy psycho dude that I remember that around that time there was a movie where like if your roommate dies, you get all A's.
Oh, it was kind of like what was that, Dead Man on Campus?
Yes, but it was more serious.
Okay,
Where he
cool.
played like a psycho, and he was more like the character from Scream. Like I remember he was getting a little
Woozy.
or oral from like his roommate's girlfriend, and his roommate was inside the closet, and he just glared at his roommate at the closet the whole time because he was trying to get him to basically commit suicide. Yeah, Lillard played some crazy characters from Shaggy to that character.
Yeah, when you said Scream, all I can ever think of when I think of the movie Scream is like him at the end. I'm feeling
Yeah,
a
but then
little
he said that it doesn't even hurt or something like to that effect, like he's like laughing when they're stabbing each other, or
here.
did he say, "Ow, that
Yeah. Yeah.
hurts?"
Keep it to the side, not too deep, okay? Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's a that's one of the movies that I was like, this dude is great.
As for me, you're gonna think I'm weird, but like that's fine. I really like really odd Japanese films. Like my favorite directors in the world are Takashi Miike and Sion Sono. They make these kind of everything from crime dramas to just these really, really disturbing, disgusting horror films. But they make them so well, and there's always just so much like, if you look for it, like, if you're not a person that's just looking at the gore, like, they're actually really funny movies sometimes. Like, Visitor Q and, like, Anti-Porn are actually really funny movies, but a lot of people don't see them that way. But, yeah, that's kind of the tippy top of mine, but I like just about anything. You know, I'll have fun with the dumbass Marvel films. I like Star Trek. You know, I'm a big sci-fi guy. I like high concept fantasy, but it never really works out too well on film. It always kind of comes out as shit or like some kind of like Lord of the Rings wannabe. So I wish I could like fantasy a little bit better in live action. But I'm pretty easy to please. I like a good crime drama, like especially like if it's done noir-y. I'm a huge fan of the noir style. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned Tarantino, I find him pretty decent most of the time. I like his early work a lot, and then his newest film actually surprised the hell out of me. I really enjoyed that film. I thought it was. I'm not usually a fan of Leonardo DiCaprio's. I don't think he's as good as a lot of people say, but he had me rolling in this movie. Like I actually really enjoyed him. Every time he cried, man, like I was just busting up, man. He really does deserve the hype he gets for this film. Like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he had me rolling the entire time.
Yeah, and then you get Tarantino's foot fetish in there, a few shots.
Does he have a foot fetish?
Yeah, Andrew told me he had a foot fetish, and I didn't see it. But then when I watched Jackie Brown, Pulp Fiction, and then that one, I was like, holy crap, he does.
What, did they show Margot Robbie's feet in it? I don't remember feet.
I thought they did.
I'm pretty sure you're right. I just didn't. I didn't pay attention. I remember the feet in Death Proof. They show Mary Elizabeth Winstead's feet a lot, like hanging out of the car and that.
And remember in Jackie Brown, the female, I can't remember the actress's name, that was sitting there with De Niro and Samuel L. Jackson while they're in the apartment.
Bridget Fonda.
Yeah, and her toes are just hanging out and she's just like waving her feet while she's talking and it focuses for a quick little bit on her feet.
Yeah. Okay, now I do remember that now.
Yeah, he's a foot guy. That's what he's into.
Yeah, it's not as creepy as some stuff, so.
Yeah. But I was like, I never noticed that, you know, until it was pointed out and I'm like, holy crap, he is. But yeah, so
what got you into comics, Fred? Like, what's the story?
Okay, as a kid, I kind of was into it with the Superman and stuff. But okay, my son, who is now 16, he has CP, cerebral palsy. So I was always looking for something to do with him, and things like that. And when he was like 2 or 3. We started watching like Batman, The Brave and the Bold, things like that was on TV that back then, cartoons and stuff. And he seemed to be very interested in it. So then I started picking up comic books and reading them to him. And until this day, currently, I still read to him. Now he gets to read the stuff I read, which is the indie, the crazy stuff, because he's 16. I mean, you know, it's his age appropriate now. So if I'm reading like Remender's Deadly Class, he's with me. I'm reading it. We have it sitting in front of us and stuff. Or he even has his own stuff where he has an iPad where he can look at it himself too as well. So yeah, so that's what really got me into it. I would say 2003, I took off with it, and what am I, 17 years into it deep now. So
that's actually a beautiful story, man. That's touching. That's really, really deep and really nice. Like, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, you just find something to bond. So we bond over comics. We also bond over wrestling and sports and things like that. He likes all that stuff. He's the biggest smart ass in the house, so.
Well, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
When I was, I think, 5, I went to the hospital for the first time. I had to get my tonsils and adenoids removed. And we were always really poor. My mom had a couple bucks. She went across the street to this supermarket, and she bought me an issue of Avengers and an issue of Thor and a little cardboard kaleidoscope, which I don't still have anymore because it fell apart, but like I kept it for the longest time too. But yeah, and this is back when comics were still 50 cents a piece, I think, or maybe a quarter. And I don't know if my mom knew the obsession that she created with that dollar she spent, but yeah, from there. And basically, a few years later, it got found out in school that I'm very severely dyslexic. It really took me a long time to learn to read in my own grade level and basically read at all. It was pretty hard. Comics were kind of the neat thing. Of course, I had to read regular books and stuff like that, but that was the fun thing that my folks kind of got for me that kind of helped me, you know, pick it up, and it just kind of kept the obsession going. And you know, now I'm 38 and I have just rooms and rooms full of trade paperbacks. It's unreal. But yeah, something that kind of just, I guess maybe some kids would even like look down upon as like something that there was forced on them. I've kind of just, you know, found my utter enjoyment in life out of, which I think is pretty neat, pretty fun. Of course, I've spun way out and I read really, really different stuff than I did when I was a child. And I'm actually making a video on that subject, which is going to be about how I kind of got into the weirder and odder and more obscure books. But, you know, it's a neat journey and there's just so much out there. And I think that for people that only read, you know, the A-list stuff from Big Two, they have no idea what they're missing out on. And I actually feel really bad for them. Like, I try to help them, but some of them just won't listen to me. But whatever, man, read what you like. That's what I try to tell everybody. Just read what you like then.
Yeah, I kind of had the same thing with, like, the reading. Mine more so was, like, the comprehension. I struggled with comprehension, I think, like, second, third grade. And then they found out for me, I had to find something that I loved. And at the time, I was huge. I still am a huge sports fan. So I can memorize numbers. Like, I could tell you, like, everybody's batting average and things like that. So they made me read the sports page. And then they started integrating books about sports. And then, you know, I would retain. But if it was something I didn't like, I could not retain it. Like, I found no interest in it. So it's crazy how that works out. I wish they would have put a comic book in front of me back then, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it was just, you know, they seemed to think that you responded better to that than comics. Like me, like, I always had them. Like, I didn't really understand what I was looking at. I actually would make up my own stories looking at the pictures as a kid. And when I finally got around to when I learned how to read them, that's some of the reason why I went into indies, because some of the Marvel books, my actual made up stories were better than the ones that were on the damn pages. at least in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it is like that for real.
But yeah, man, dyslexia is a hell of a thing, man. And people think that once you kind of learn how to read, it goes away. But nah, every time I bust open something and I stare at the words, it takes a little while. It's almost like you watch, you know, something get decoded in a movie. You know, the letters, you know, kind of click into place, and then you realize what it's a messed up thing to have. And anybody that actually has it knows what I'm talking about, knows where I'm coming from. Right. And I wish them the best for all the kids that are having to go through it right now. And for folks that, you know, want to have a little fun with their kids to try to help them get over it, comics are a great, really fun way to try and help your kids get through, you know, the hardships of dyslexia when they're not having to read their actual books. Kind of like you know, kind of like a leisurely thing. Kind of like watching cartoons after, you know, reading or whatever. Because I never really cared for what was on TV as a kid.
Yeah, me either. Me either. Yeah, man. Thanks for sharing that story, man. Wow. This turned into like some intervention shit, huh?
Oh, well, I mean, I figure that most people that are into comics as we are, they have to have something that, you know, hit them on some kind of an emotional level. I mean, it's a hobby that requires, you know, you actual to practicing time and attention to. So I don't think that it's something that a lot of people kind of fall into lightly. You know, it's the same thing with like readers, people that read novels. Like it's kind of a hobby that either you really, really just enjoy the written word, or it's something that, you know, you kind of were forced into as a kid because of a problem you had, and you ended up loving it in some kind of sadistic fashion. You know what I mean? And that's just, I figure that's how most people kind of become, you know, part of the hobby.
Yeah, totally. And your story is very comparable. I think I heard an interview with Vita Ayala, and I think she struggled with dyslexia as well. And she said she couldn't stop writing once she learned to, you know, read and stuff. And now look at her. So, wow.
Yeah. Livewire is amazing. Yeah, she's badass.
What's your favorite genre of comics?
My favorite genre of comics? Oh, man. Like, I'd have to probably say that, like, I usually try to aim for anything that's not superhero related. It's like my favorite writer. I don't have like one specific, but I really, really enjoy noir, crime drama, horror, and high concept fantasy and sci-fi. Like basically like that's my go-to stuff. And a lot of the times all those get blurred together anyways. You know what I mean? You end up with a high fantasy concept horror comic with some noir shit in it anyways, because Garth Ennis is the kind of guy that will do all those things in one thing and call it Caliban, which is an amazing comic. So, like, you know, sometimes all my dreams come true in one book.
Yeah, for me, I would have to say, like, anything that's crime noir. I also am into, like, mythology or anything with, like, a religion aspect. So, like, if it's, like, we recently did, like, Seven to Eternity, also, what is it? Clan Killers by Sean Lewis, which deals with like Irish mythology, things like that. I'm into that stuff. I also like action. I guess it depends on who the writer is.
Yeah, that's basically what it boils down to, is who's writing it. Because, like, honestly, if I see the name Warren Ellis on a book, I'm going to read it. I don't care. Like, even if it is a superhero book, because he, like, writes my favorite superhero book right now, Wildstorm. So, like, even that crazy Brit can even get me to read that genre. So, yeah, like, and same thing with Rick Remender. Like, if he was, I don't know, most of his Marvel stuff was terrible. But, like, if he was, like, to, like, say, go back to Dark Horse and write another book like The End League, which was kind of Black Hammerish. It was like an analog of Justice League characters, but like in kind of like this Fist of the North Star setting. Like, if he was to do shit like that again, I'd probably be really into it.
Okay, so here's a question. Now, let's say you're Mount Rushmore of writers and comics. Who are they?
Oh, man. Yeah, Warren Ellis, Rick Remender, let's see, Stan Saki, who does Usagi Yojimbo, and Paul Pope.
Which reminds me, I just got that book the other day. I'm going to jump into
that. You got Heavy Liquid? Yeah, basically, you know what the main character looks like on the cover? Like, that's what he looks like. He always draws himself as, like, the main character. So, yeah, like, basically, Paul Pope looks just like the Stooge. So, like, that's what, like, the last face on my Mount Rushmore would look like. Guy with big lips and long hair.
Yeah, I would have to say for me, I would put, well, of course, Jeff Lemire. My second would be Remender. Matt Kent, maybe? And Brian K. Vaughan.
Wow.
That was tough, man, because I'm leaving people off.
There's going to be a bunch of dudes with beards on your Mount Rushmore. So as far as I know, all them guys have beards, right?
I want, like, and then I was like, oh, shit, I forgot, like, Elliot Rahal or even, like, Cullen Bunn. I'm like, man, I'm leaving these guys off.
Elliot, he's off to a great start, but, like he's at a start. You know what I mean? Like, I he's good. But I don't know about being on the Mount Rushmore already. I mean, I loved Hot Lunch Special and Midnight Vista's off to a great start. But just like his career, it's just off to a great start. Who knows? He could like take a big job at Marvel and become a total shitbag like Nick Spencer did, you know what I mean? And be a guy that, like, I wouldn't even bother spending 50 cents on one of his books in the future. It's happened to writers that I love. Like, Nick Spencer was a guy I loved. I loved Morning Glories. I loved Bedlam. And then he had to go to Marvel and write Captain America. And now, good luck getting me to buy anything else in the future, buddy.
Yeah. And then I just remembered I forgot Ed Brubaker. So there we are.
Another beard. God damn it.
Hey, I got a beard.
I know, but it's, like, weird. Like, you should at least have one clean-shaven guy on there.
Scott Snyder, if he did more, like, indie stuff.
I think he's planning on it. I'm not sure.
He has the Undiscovered Country right now, which is really good.
He's co-writing it with Charlie Soule, so, like...
Yes.
I don't really count that as one of his books, because out of the two of them, I'd say he's the lesser writer, personally. But before I start putting money on him, like, becoming, like, a great indie name again, he'd need to have, like, a title that was actually his. You know what I mean? Not co-written by another genius.
Right. I think if he brought back, like, Witches or, I don't know, if they gave, like, another arc to The Wake or something like that.
No, the second arc of The Wake was bad enough.
It wasn't good. You're right. That was not good.
Like, Sean Murphy's art was wonderful. I loved it. Well, story of the second arc of The Wake, yeah, no, like,
it was like Waterworld.
Yeah, Waterworld with evil mermaids, which I guess it was better than Waterworld then, like, because, like, I think evil mermaids would actually made that movie cool, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the first arc was definitely really good, though, that's for sure. This has been an interview segment of Nerds from the Underground. If you enjoyed this, getting to get a little more of our personality, not of us just talking about comics and stuff, let us know on Twitter, either with at me at ComicsFred, or hit up Johnny at
JohnnyAlpha81 on Twitter, or you could get at me on my YouTube. My channel name is Graphic Vandalism.
You can also hit our page up at Nerds From on Twitter, send us DMs, whatever. Just let us know if you liked it or not. Maybe this is something we could do in the future, you know, just rapping, chit-chatting, you know. I think that's the word of the day from the Pee Wee Herman show. You're supposed to scream when I say it. You can, I guess, with that being said, we're out.
We don't hate if you trade weight.